back when, and we talked about Caleb last week, so I just felt we'll talk about Joshua this week. Joshua and Caleb, the two good spies. When Moses died, he turned leadership over to Joshua. And we're going to look at something in Joshua chapter number 24, but I'm going to jump years ahead now. In Joshua chapter number 1, when God took Moses home, buried Moses up on the mountain, and Joshua became the leader. I love this passage of Scripture. As God chose Joshua, He said to him in Joshua chapter 1, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." That's a great promise. "I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance in the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Boy, there's not more comforting words than that right there. As God spoke to Joshua. And after God said that to Joshua, and God told them, "This is the man that's now going to lead you." And the people, all with one voice, said, "As we obeyed Moses, we're going to obey you." I can guarantee you, Joshua found zero comfort in that. Oh boy, this is going to be a ride. But at least I can trust God, though I can't trust the people. And we go from there all the way to the end of Joshua's life. In Joshua chapter number 24. And again, you remember Joshua and Caleb, the two good spies that believed in the promises of God and trusted God. When the whole nation was turning against God and doubting the promises of God. And Joshua's dying testimony was still in Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. He says to the people as he gathers them together, literally his last words, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, that's a great verse. In fact, there's probably a few people tonight that have that verse hanging somewhere in your house. The last part of that verse. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then I want you to see the people's answer in verse number 16 through 18. "And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. No, we would never serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did these great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the days wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites in the land which dwell in the land. Therefore, we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." There's the people's answer. There's Joshua's dying testimony. There's the people's answer. And then the next verse I'll focus on tonight, we'll get the title from. "And Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord." We'll just stop right there. You can't serve the Lord. And to me, one of the most intriguing verses in all the Bible is that verse right there. Joshua said, I've lived for God. We've served the Lord. As for me and my house, we've directed our house to serve the Lord. And the people say, yeah, bless God, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua said, no, you can't. What? What do you mean, no, we can't? Oh, yes, we can. Oh, no, you can't. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together tonight. We pray that you would bless, as we look into your word, that we would learn something tonight of what it takes to serve the Lord and to live for Him. That we would truly learn to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I pray that you would speak to us this evening. We pray especially for these young people that they would determine that they're going to serve the Lord according to the Bible and not according to their emotions, which is a very popular thing today. According to the way we see things, the way we feel, the way we think. God, that we would be submissive to you. Most of all, I pray that each one here tonight that doesn't know you would soon come to know you as their Savior. Lord, it may be too late if they wait till tomorrow. And God, I pray that you would stir in them a hungering and a thirst to know you and to have a real living relationship with a living Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joshua said in verse number 19, you cannot serve the Lord. And really, the rest of this chapter, the next few verses, which we're going to look at some of these verses. By the way, kids, we don't have Bibles here, do we? Oh, you guys ought to have a Bible with you. You ought to come to church with a Bible. You follow along and look on somebody else's Bible. Everybody's within view of a Bible. If you don't have one, keep your Bibles open here. In Joshua chapter number 24, we're going to look at some things in this verse. As Joshua told the people, you cannot serve the Lord. In fact, it became an argument between Joshua and the people in the following verses. And I want to point out five things that Joshua said. This is why you cannot serve the Lord. A lot of people today talk about living for God, talk about knowing God, serving God. And I wonder what God they're talking about a lot of times. Even a lot of people that call themselves born-again Christians. What God are you talking about? It's obviously not the God of the Bible. Joshua said, you can't serve the Lord. And by the way, Joshua had some experience. He served under Moses. He was one of the 12 spies, and for 40 years he watched Moses lead the people, rebellious, cantankerous people through the desert, complaining at every turn. And finally they were able to go into the promised land, and they pushed Moses over the edge. And so Moses was not able to go into the promised land because of a sin that he had committed. And though he said it was clearly the people, God even said it was the people's fault, but he still bore the responsibility of his sin. And by the way, we can never blame our sin on anybody else. He still suffered the consequence of that sin. He himself was not able to enter the promised land. And now Joshua had led the people into the promised land and claimed the blessings of God and known the power of God. And still, he knew what it was to lead these stiff-necked, rebellious, self-centered, self-righteous people. By the way, that's what all of us are. Every one of us, whether we want to admit it or not, the sooner we admit that, the sooner we realize that, the better off we'd be. Joshua said, now, I've served faithfully the Lord. Joshua and Caleb, I believe, were probably the only two people in the whole nation of Israel that could say that, honestly. And from God's perspective, that God would agree with them, that they too have faithfully serve the Lord. And the people all said, oh, we'll serve the Lord too. We'll walk with God. We'll do what God says. Let's get right between those guys there. Thank you, Miles. You guys can do so good, and you can go so bad, so much the other direction too, if you want to. I like to see you doing good. You cannot serve the Lord. And here's the reasons why. First of all, in chapter number 24 and verse number 19, and notice that you cannot serve the Lord. Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. You cannot serve God because he is a holy God. And by the way, that's a song that's not very popular anymore in our culture today. He is a holy God. In fact, that is his chief attribute above everything else. People like to talk about his love and his compassion and mercy, and certainly we thank the Lord for that, but all of it pales in comparison to his holiness. In fact, if you check out the Bible, you find out that the writers that wrote the most about the love of God, for example, the disciple whom Jesus loved was what disciple? John. John also wrote the book of Revelation in the New Testament. There's not a book in the New Testament that speaks more of the holiness of God than the book that John wrote, but also he wrote the most about the love of God in the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. To truly understand the love of God, you've got to first and foremost understand the holiness of God. But that's something, you cannot serve the Lord because He's a holy God. The first commandment in Exodus chapter number 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Some of you could probably quote that first commandment. Deuteronomy, I'm going to quote it actually from Exodus 2. The word might have one or two different words in it. Exodus chapter number 20, verses 2 and 3. God says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus said in the New Testament that we need to love the Lord our God with part of our heart, the most of our heart, with most of our soul, with kind of a lot of our strength. No, he said with all thine heart. With everything, every ounce of my being is to love the Lord. No half-hearted effort. We're going to love Him completely and serve Him out of love and walk with Him out of love. This book is the book written by God. And let me say this, you cannot love God if you don't love this book. You cannot love God if you don't love this book. The thing that we think about all the time, I mean, you look at young people that are in love, these newlyweds here. They're old-time weds now. They've been married a whole year, 2 years, 6 years, 12 years, seems like 20, right? When folks are, I mean, they got that goo-goo eye look in their eyes, and all they can think about, my sweetheart, and they're just kind of floating around and everything. And that's the only, by the way, that's the way we ought to be with Jesus. All we can think about is how good God is. How good God is. We love Him with all our heart. And we love this book above everything else. There's nothing I like more than to read this book. Now, I like to read a lot of things, but there's nothing that compares to this book right here. There's nothing more exciting, nothing more stimulating, nothing more thrilling than reading this book and studying, and working in this book. The one difference between Joshua and the rest of the people in Joshua. I read the verse already from Joshua chapter number 1. God says this again in verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. For thou shalt what? Meditate. Day and night. When I'm alive, when I'm awake in the daytime, when I'm sleeping, I dream about the Word of God. I talk about it. I'm thinking of it all of the time. There's nothing that's more important. Kids, look up here. There's nothing. You can't serve the Lord because you're not even listening to me right now. You can't even pay attention during the preaching time. You can't get into the Word of God. You don't know what it is to study and memorize and meditate on the Word of God. Now, we teach the young people to memorize Scripture. But until they learn to, and sometimes old folks like us say, well, we can't memorize Scripture. We can, we just have to work at it harder. And if we love God, we will work at it harder. And we can't meditate on Scripture if we're not memorizing Scripture. We're hiding God's Word. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And Joshua saw the difference between the way he lived and the way everybody else. You can't serve God because He's a holy God. And you need to love Him with all of your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. It's the most important thing in all the world. And then in verse number 19 also, he says you cannot serve the Lord because He is a holy God. He is a, what? Jealous God. He is a jealous God. Doesn't have an H in there. A jealous God. The second commandment. In Exodus chapter 20, verse number 4 through 6, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that the water under the earth. But thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. What does it mean to be a jealous God? I'm going to visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate him, and show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commands. Now, we talked about the law of jealousy a few weeks ago. Do you remember that? Who has a right to be jealous? Only God has a right to be jealous. If I'm jealous, if I'm unforgiving, I've stepped in the place of God. I've got another God before him, and that's myself. Only God has a right to be jealous. We have one loyalty, and that is to God alone. You know, I got thinking about this. When John saw the throne of God in heaven, there was only one person on that throne, and that was God himself. It wasn't a love seat. Huh? It wasn't a throne built for two. You know what a love seat is? You love birds, I don't know. That's a little couch, just enough room for two people to sit by each other. That's not the throne of God. There's only one person on the very throne of God, and that is God himself. And we can't put anything else up there. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want anybody taking his place. He doesn't want you bowing down to any statue, any image, whether you've made them or somebody else. And God is a holy God, and God is a jealous God. And then look at this in verse number 19. You cannot serve the God. You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgression or your sin. What? God won't forgive? If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he has done you good. God's been so good, and we can't serve him because he'll not forgive us, because he's a holy God and a jealous. What's that mean? I was studying that out, trying to figure out what exactly does that mean. Let me word it this way. He will not overlook your sin. You know, sometimes we think, well, if enough time goes by, maybe they'll just kind of forget what I did. Now, people might do that. God doesn't do that. Well, I just kind of let it, you know, I'm not, in other words, unconfessed sin and unrepented of sin, God's not going to just forget about it. Well, if we just kind of let it go for a couple of months, maybe they'll forget about what I did. Well, other people might. Chances are they won't forget either. But God never is going to just overlook. He's never going to just forget about our sin. It's up to us to confess our sin and to repent of our sin. The book of 1 John chapter number 1 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and forgive us of all and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we're going to know the blessing of God and the forgiveness of God, we're going to have to confess our sin. You know, Joshua had served the people long enough that they thought, well, you know, we've sinned against Moses. We rebelled against God. And, well, enough time's gone by now. God will just forget about that and God will keep blessing us. God's not going to bless you unless you forsake and repent of your sin. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If we just kind of pull the rug over our sin, just kind of forget about it and say, well, you know, God, you know, yeah, it was bad, and it was just kind of, hopefully God will just forget. Enough time's gone by now that I don't remember it anymore. Surely God's forgotten. No, God's not going to forget it. He's not going to just overlook our sin. And the very fact that we think that, well, you know, I can just kind of, we just go on and pretend. Let's call a mulligan. Is that what they call it in golf? That's every time I swing at that ball, I say, mulligan. That's the only word I learned on the golf course. That one didn't count. Let me try it again. And we just say, I'm sorry, that one didn't count. Let me try it again. God, that one, let's just forget about that one. No, that's not the way we deal with sin. We're to confess it and to forsake it and to move on. But we cannot serve God because we have that attitude. And by the way, that's a natural attitude that we have. And certainly the Israelites demonstrated that attitude. We'll just kind of forget about it and move on. But God says, no, he's not going to forsake that sin. And Joshua dealt with the people long enough to know what their mindset was, that they'll just kind of keep going and hope that God will eventually bless them and they'll get beyond that thing. But you can't serve God. God's not going to overlook sin. And we cannot serve God, first of all, because God's holy. We cannot serve God because he's jealous. We cannot serve God because he will not just overlook sin. And by the way, if you don't get saved, God's not going to just say, well, you know, you're a good kid otherwise. Why don't you just come on into heaven? Nobody's going to get to heaven that way. Did you catch that? Doesn't matter if mom and dad were Christians. Doesn't matter if you went to church every day of your life. You're not going to get to heaven by being good. But I meant the calling. I was going to get saved sometime down the road. Sorry, your chance is over. When God sent the rain in Noah's day, before the rain came, the door of the ark closed up. And I'm sure there are people out there, Noah, We were going to trust you tomorrow. We were going to believe you. Sorry, it's too late. The door's closed. God's not going to just say, you know, I'm going to let them, let's open the door again and let's let them come in this time. No, your chance is gone. Your opportunity is gone. Don't ever think, well, God's just going to, you know, God's a good, the good guy upstairs, the man upstairs. And folks always talk about the good. And again, to understand his grace and mercy, you need to understand his holiness. God doesn't have a light attitude towards sin. If we think that of God, we cannot serve him. We can't have a relationship with him. We will never know him. And then next, I want you to see this. They could not serve God because God's a holy God, because God's a jealous God, because God won't just overlook their sin. And fourthly, because their self-determination was not enough. Oh, yes, we read all the Zig Ziglar books. You know who he is? The kids don't. The Power of Positive Thinking. You just think hard enough and believe in yourself and you can get it done. Oh, no, that doesn't work that way. Notice what he says. The first promise that's given in Joshua 24, and let's look at verse number. Let me see if I can find it here. The people said unto Joshua, said, you can't serve the Lord. Verse number 24, the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Oh, yes, we will serve the Lord. The second time they say it, in verse number 24, Joshua again, we see this going back and forth like watching a tennis match. You're going over there and going over there, and Joshua says, you can't, and they say, we can, in verse number 24. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice we will obey. The second time, oh yes we will, we're determined, we're going to do it. And Joshua said, I tell you what you do. We'll write my words down, and we'll write your words down. We'll put them in a book. We'll set up a monument, and we'll engrave that monument so every generation that comes by here will be reminded of the word that we just put in that book and the words that are engraved in that monument. That's what he says here. Notice the text in verse number 26. Joshua wrote these words in a book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up under an oak, and was in the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. What you promise and what I said will be here engraved on this stone, for it hath heard the words of the Lord which spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Oh, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be faithful to him. No, you're not. Yes, we are. No, you're not. Yes, we are. No, you're not. Yes, we are. No, you're not. The words go, you can determine you're going to do it all you want to, but that doesn't mean you're going to do it. You can have all the power of positive thinking you want and think yourself that you're going to get to heaven because I just believe in it. And oftentimes I ask people out if they know they're going to go to heaven. Of course, everybody thinks they're going to go to heaven. Well, how do you know you're going to get there? Because I just believe. What do you believe? I don't know, but I just believe. I just believe everybody's good enough to get to heaven. I just believe that God loves everybody. You can believe all you want to, but if your belief is not based on the fact of the Word of God, your belief doesn't do any good. We need to have confidence in something, not our self-determination, not our self-will, not our desire to do something. You cannot serve God. You cannot serve God if you don't love the book, if you're not studying the book and giving yourself to the Word of God. And then one other thing. Joshua reminds them, you've got a proven track record. I've watched you a long time. I've watched you say over and over again, we'll serve God. But then you don't. You know, kids, look up here. This is what I see all the time. Some of you kids, probably most of you kids, I've caught you in this very thing. What part of this building are we supposed to run in? In where? The gym. How many of you know that? Everybody knows that, right? Garrett doesn't know that. All right. Matthew, do you know that? How many of you know you're only supposed to run in the gym? Let me see your hand. All right. I'm going to make sure everybody knows that. Do you know that, Bentley? Okay. Everybody knows that. Just about every week, sometime during the week, on a Wednesday night or Sunday, I walk down past the kitchen and somebody, shoom! Down the hallway they go. And sometimes I catch them. Sometimes I can't even catch them. But when I do, I'll stop them and say, remember, you're only supposed to run where? In the gym. And oftentimes they'll look at me and they're really polite and they say, yes, sir. And they turn around and what do? They run down the hallway. We're running to the gym. Or did you say in the gym or to the gym? Okay, we'll do that. And by the way, I don't know if there's a kid in here that I haven't caught do that very same thing. Huh? Yeah, you're volunteering? I don't think I said that to anybody today. We'll do that after church, okay? Yes, sir, we'll obey. And they're just... You see, their track record says different. You can tell me all you want to that you're going to obey. You can say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I'll do that right away. Some people like to talk, but they don't like to do. Huh? Their track record proves different. And let me say something. Our words mean nothing if they're not backed up with something. Did you catch that? We can say we're going to do something all we want to, but unless we do it, it doesn't mean anything. Our track. Look at verse number 22 and 23. Now therefore put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, include your heart. Incline your heart to the Lord God. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord will we serve, and his voice we will obey. We'll obey him. We'll do what's right. We'll keep going the right way. But he's watched them long enough. You know, parents, it'd be good for us to understand that, and young people as well, I'm not going to just wake up one day and be spiritually minded. I'm not going to just wake up one day and be right with God. I'm not going to one day just wake up and know the Bible. It comes one step at a time. One step of obedience. One day, I remember as a young Christian, the pastor telling me I ought to read the Bible. And I went home the next morning. I read the Bible for 5 minutes and fell asleep for the next 15 minutes. Okay, Lord, we'll try for 6 minutes tomorrow. I got to where I was reading the Bible regularly. I said I read the Bible, but what'd it do? Nothing. God, I'm not getting anything out of this. Can I just be real with you? I've been there before. The guy that doesn't seem to be helping any, but the preacher said it works, and I know enough Bible to know that it works. Well, sooner or later, it's going to work. And for weeks, for months, boy, that was a struggle. But eventually, things started clicking. Eventually, I started getting something out of it. But if I would have been like most people, well, that don't work. I mean, have people come to me and say, well, I tried religion. I tried Christ once. I tried the Bible once, but it didn't work. How long did you try it? For a week? For a month? A couple of years? Just keep going. Just keep going. You'd be amazed. And we find ourselves daily getting a little stronger, growing a little bit more, getting a little closer to God. It's not going to just all of a sudden happen one day. If I can't get victory over little sins, I'm not going to get victory over the big sins. Now let's back in chapter number 28, or verse number 28. They heard the words of Joshua, and they were convinced, okay, we'll set up this stone. We swear that we're going to do right. It's going to be different this time. And then in verse number 28, the people all went back home. You know, sometimes I'm amazed. That's why I encourage folks to take notes and to pay attention in church so you can look at those notes later and remember what God told you. As you be in a church service or maybe at a camp, a meeting somewhere, a preaching meeting, and boy, that was a good message. You maybe even came down and made a good decision at the altar. But then what happens? You get up and you go home. How long does it take to forget that decision?
A couple of seconds.
Sometimes that's about how long. And you've been to camp. You know, right, Bentley? Sometimes by the time you get to that door. Sometimes by the time you get to the car. That's why it's good to write notes down and get home and say, well, this is what God said. To look over that verse. And to go back and listen again and to pay attention again. Now, verse number 28 says, Joshua let all the people depart, everyone unto his own inheritance. Not just to their house, but the country was all spread out. They've all come to the central location to hear Joshua. Now they've all made the journey back home. Might have taken them a week to get back home. By the time they got home, they forgot every decision they made, just like us. We're all the same way. And then he said, well, that was a great message. That was a great service. That was a great meeting. But what did it change? It didn't change anything. It wasn't that great. And it's changing one step at a time. You can't serve God because you got to prove that this is just the way it is. You come and you listen and you go home. What are we preaching? I don't know, but I'm sure it was good. Sometimes folks say, well, it was a good message. What was it about? Well, I don't know. God, I think. must have been good. Usually when they say that, it's because I told a good joke, which doesn't happen very often. So if I ever tell a good joke, you'd remember it, right? The ones tonight, you probably don't remember. We'll keep working on that, all right? But the proven track record, and that's just human nature. We come, we listen, and it doesn't mean anything. And they've got a proven track record. And then we read Joshua's death in verse number 29 and 30. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being how old? 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of inheritance of that place, down from Ephraim, in the north side of the hill of Gaash. Gaash, that's a beautiful place. But Joshua died at 110 years old. And the people said, remember that promise we made to Joshua? And by the way, I give the people credit. They kept it longer than most people do. In verse number 31, it says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. Now, Joshua was the oldest one in his generation. There weren't many left after him. Joshua and Caleb, they're really the only ones left of that generation. So we're not talking about a long time. And all the works that they did, what he had done for Israel. They served him that long, and that was it. Wasn't very long. And the next book of the Bible is what book? On the next page. The book of Judges. What do you know about the book of Judges? Now that Joshua's gone, Joshua, we'll serve you. We'll live for you. Our children will live for you. We're going to do right. We're going to do right all the days of our life. And didn't last long. And they're right down the bottom again. And the theme of the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Well, I think this is right. I think that's kind of like our day today. Well, I think I'm right. I think so-and-so is right. I think whatever I think is right, that's what's right. There is no king in Israel. There's no final authority in Israel. And all where there is no vision, the people perish. And there is no king. There is no final authority. If we get back to this authority and love this book like none other book, read and study, meditate in our spare time. Oh, I just want to read the Bible again. I just want to get into the Word of God, and it's the center of focus of my life. And Josh says, you know, you can't serve God because He's a holy God. You have to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I was involved in a lot of sports when I was a kid, and every coach I had said, if you want to be good in this sport, they'd always word it this way. We're talking about football. You got to live football. You got to sleep football. You got to dream about football. You got to eat football. I never did eat football, but you got to think about it when you're eating. You got to think about it when you're going to kiss your girlfriend and think that she's a football. You got to think. I mean, that's the one thing that's going to be on your mind is football. That's the only thing you can think of, and then you might make it one day. And by the way, the same thing's true with serving God. He's got to be the central focus of every single thing you do. Not just on Sunday, not just, well, my devotion time. How long do I have to do this, Mom? What is that? How long do I have to do this for, Mom? 5 minutes? Okay. Da, 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 da. Okay, I'm done. You can't serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's not satisfied with that. He's not pleased with that. He's a jealous God. He wants your attention. He wants your love. He wants your devotion. We can't just say, well, you know, God, I messed up. We'll try better next time. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. God, forgive me of my sin. And confess your sin and forsake your sin. Repent of your sin. And then it's not just enough to say, oh, I'll do better. I'm going to lift myself. I'll try harder next time. Oh, I messed up tomorrow and I'll mess up again. I messed up yesterday. I'll mess up again tomorrow if I don't have your grace. God, I need you to get me through another day. And I've got a proven track record. Every time I get a chance, I go the wrong way. By the way, the Apostle Paul struggled with that. Every great Christian struggles with that. Well, bless God, I don't sin anymore. I don't go back that way. I'd like you, man, could you sign my Bible? Could you write another book of the Bible, maybe? I mean, you are really somebody if you don't have that sin nature anymore. But we've got a proven track record. We sin all the time, and we always fall back. And unless we learn to one day, each day, get a victory over another sin, each day grow a little closer to Jesus Christ, you cannot serve the Lord. Oh, yes, we will. Joshua, no, you won't. Oh, yes, we will. No, you won't. Oh, yeah, we will. Okay, let's write it down in a book. Let's set up a monument. And then let your children come back and look at that book. Let your children come back and look at that monument. And they're all going to agree, boy, we really messed up. Mom and Dad really messed up. Grandma and Grandpa really messed up. I cannot serve. I need God's grace. I need Him. God's a jealous God. God's a holy God. And He's not going to just overlook my sin. He's not going to say, well, I'll do better next time. All that. I'm a sinner, and I need Him more than I realize. I'm going to ask